And she explains that the body is a vessel for the soul's education. So, we could spend a lot of time talking about her, but I think it would be best to concentrate the amount of time that we have to spend together. She's got fantastic information and insights. In the second hour, we'll also be going to be taking calls, so you may be able to experience some of her qualities firsthand by calling into the Revolution Radio Studio B number. If you are on Studio B, go to the chat room and type in the word number, and Hal will tell you what to say, what to dial, and you'll be able to catch us here in the second hour, which will be 9 Eastern onwards. So, welcome to Journeys, Elizabeth Joyce. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you, Jay. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm doing just fine. I'm sure that we all have had our shakes and upsets since September until now. And because we've had such difficult energy to work through from the summer until now, I'd like to open with a blessing so that we could enshroud anyone who's listening with an energetic bubble so they might open their hearts to what they need to see and hear.
Yes, indeed. It's a very good idea because people have just had dinner, they've just come in from work, or they've, they've had their all sorts of other influences and, you know, dramas, most likely. Everybody's having massive drama. So let's all focus, let's all arrive in the here and now. Elizabeth, would you take it away?
Well, I'm going to ask the angels and your spiritual guides to remove you from all doubt and question nothing at all. When you ask anything of spirit, asking within you, how can I do this because I feel less than worthy? Stop that thought. Turn to God with all your heart and ask Him without doubting, how can I serve you? He will never forsake you, but instead will fill the request of your soul. Purify your heart from all views of this present world and observe your inner commands. You have done this before in previous lives, as well as in this lifetime, and you shall receive whatever good things you have knowledge about within your heart. And I ask that we are blessed with this light energy, and may our awareness and our consciousness rise to the highest that we are available, that's available to us. Thank you, Spirit.
Excellent. Well, having said the call-in number, I'll bring it in later. It's 421-4053. So, Elizabeth, welcome to the show. We've got so much to talk about, and we'll probably have to spill over into lots of other spaces and times and parallel dimensions. So, first of all, one of the things that that really struck me when you came on Jessica Morocco's show on Wolf Spirit Radio a few Thursdays back, that I just gave you my birth date, and you knocked me over. You blew me away. You told me exactly what had happened in the last 6 months, right in front of audience who had witnessed the whole thing happen and unfold in front of their ears. And you just strode in and laid it out, and you know that it's part of a continuum and all of these things. So that really
that
blew
surprised
me away.
You. But let me warn you a little bit. I said that blessing because there are times when that doesn't happen, Jay. There are times when people struggle so hard to hang on to their belief, their truth, that even the divine and the energies that you work with can't penetrate, because the other person has to agree and be relaxed and be able to receive the energy. And then you create a circle. I call it the circle of light, where I can go into their heart and say back to them what their spirit guides are trying to say, and maybe they're not quite ready to listen, and then they can talk to me about their needs, and I can get an even deeper vibration as we go along. And it goes around in a circle higher and higher, almost like a slinky going upstairs.
A nice spiral, yeah, spirals and helixes. I'm very much a fan of spirals and helixes, and I've been helices. I play with copper and do sorts of nice things with them. I have one in my hand, little double spiral, and so it is all about frequencies for me.
Yes.
I was having a conversation this afternoon about you know, past lives and future lives and parallel dimensions, and really that it's all frequency. And there's nothing really that magic to it, because we can tune into things, you know, if we listen to Mozart, or if we listen to Boney M.
Anything that makes you float. You know, my book Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension, which is available on Amazon.com, explains it level by level. I broke down all the dimensions, the third dimension, the fourth dimension, and the fifth dimension. I explain what they are, and how you change from one to the other, and that there's seven levels in each dimension, and there's seven parts of seven levels. Plus, we have the nine-year cycle, that's something else. But it's very, very, very interesting. And the magic of it, this is going to blow you away, Jay, is that it all flows with the cycle of astrology. So when you're born, your astrology chart is your birth certificate. It's your fingerprint to life. And it doesn't show you events. It doesn't show you that you're going to marry John or have two kids. It shows you energy. And whatever you set forth is how the energy will work for you. Energy works different for everybody, depending on their level, their vibration, their thought system, and their consciousness. Do you see that?
Yeah. So would you like to... I mean, you were able to almost read like a book, like a decode. I mean, I'm a computer programmer, right? So I can read code. I can see that, you know, this sequence of sentences, and brackets and things will lead to this particular result. And it seems that you are equally fluent in the language of astrology. This is something that I would say isn't something that you would learn in one lifetime.
No, I agree. I totally agree. And as a matter of fact, in my astrological chart, it does show that I was a past life teacher of sorts. And I know I was in Egypt because I went to Egypt. And I have a certainly strong connection there. But I will tell you this. I have had so many what I call deeply penetrating spiritual experiences. And I feel I'm very blessed, because when I meditate, my body opens. It rocks, as they say. It really will gyrate. It really can accept the higher energies. And I would not be able to do that if it hadn't been programmed into me from past lives.
So do you get a levitation? It just kind of...
I have had a levitation more than once.
Yeah, and spontaneous mudra?
I don't do spontaneous mudra. Instead, what happens to me is my crown chakra opens and this huge white light comes in like a shaft, and I feel my body swell almost like a bubble. And then from that energy, that's like my supper. So I'm eating my supper. I ate that energy now. Now from it, I can draw from it and use it to help people. I've learned how to do that. I'm more like a radio antenna. I have seen lots of people do spontaneous mudras. The only time I really did spontaneous mudras was when I wrote the book Ascension Accessing the Fifth Dimension Workbook. Then Spirit gave me the divine seals. And when she gave me the divine seals, which we are now putting over the new spiritual chakras, then I did spontaneous mudras, because I did the seals automatically with my hand. I imagine that's how they did Reiki. The people that dreamt about Reiki, the Japanese gentleman and the lady in Hawaii, probably got the mudras before they got the information of what they did and what the mudras actually did.
Interesting. The mudras that I've experienced, they feel like, you know, these old-fashioned switchboards where they had a wire in the box and they pulled the wire out and they plugged it into a thing. That's what it feels like, that my body is kind of assembling itself as a certain kind of transmission system.
It's called a transmission board, isn't it? Where they solder
yes.
the wires in.
Yeah. Or it's like a patch board. They patch
one thing. Well, I look at it as an electrical plug. Suppose that I'm in New Jersey and then I'm going to plug the light into the wall, but if I'm in London, that plug won't fit into the wall in London, and that plug won't fit into the wall in China. It's all different. So when you change your mudra, you're changing your frequency, and you're receiving a different languaging. Now, that can be knowledge. That can be something that you have to heal. That can be information.
So we have our assembly of the equipment, mm-hmm. and then comes the transmission.
Correct.
And the transmission works through invocation, evocation. So that's what you were talking about, the crown center opening up, and you kind of fill up like a bladder, like a
bubble.
Tank. Yeah, like a bubble tank, mm-hmm. that expands to accept the energy. So some part of you is able to expand and hold that amount of
Go ahead. It's been so powerful for me, Jay, that I've gone into past lives with it. I mean, I was dancing in red silk over in the Middle East, and then I was down in the Amazon River living with a tribe of Indians, and then I was living in the Pacific Ocean, and I was crying because my son was born deformed, and in that lifetime, it was around the 12th century, they didn't let babies live that were born deformed, and my husband drowned the baby in the ocean, and then I was barren for the rest of that lifetime. And the man that had done that, the energetic soul that had done that in that lifetime, I re-met in this lifetime. And then the vista opened up about the connection. That's amazing to me.
That is. And these are some of the topics that I like to cover, actually, this evening, is things like that event. Mm-hmm. People talk about karma, and they think they know what it's about. And I think you can only understand karma when you've actually studied the way that people reincarnate and re-interact with each other, say the next time, or the next time and the time after that, until somehow something is harmonized. Would you like to talk about that in terms of, well, there's the, yeah, you were talking about a thing called a pod.
That's afterlife. That's where we go when we die. But let me start at the beginning. I have to mention my books again. I hope you don't mind. I wrote three called...
Go, be as commercial as you like, Elizabeth.
Well, it's just that that's where the information is.
Of course.
I wrote Opening to Your Intuition.
The website.
And Psychic Sensitivity. This is all on Amazon.com as well. Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity, Book 1, Book 2, and Book 3. I call it a trilogy. Book 1 is wonderful for teenagers or for pre-adults to train them on how to meditate, what chakras are, what auras are. And when you get to Book 3, that's the highest level one. I did each one in a different color. The red is the beginner's book. The green is the middle, because that helps you to heal, connects you with your angels. And then Book 3 has your higher information in it. So the first thing you want to learn and accept is that the Akashic Records is a history book. It is a history book of everything your spark has experienced from the time it flew away, from the Great Big Bang, or whatever they call it. Every lifetime you've led, every person you've met, every good deed you've done, and every bad deed you've done, it's stored up in the Akashic Records. However, what people miss is that the Akashic Records is not this lifetime. This lifetime, you work with your divine master inside of you, and you set down your soul record for this lifetime. And that's a part that is important for people to learn about, because when you meditate, you can go to a clean page and write in that which you want to bring in, and then you bring it in. So the Akashic Records is your past. And what you're doing now is called the Divine Book of Life. And when you die and go back to your pod school, the Divine Book of Life becomes a part of your Akashic Records, your history, and then you start again. But before you're born, you sit with your soul school or your teachers, and they help you with your Akashic Records set up your astrological chart, which holds the energy for that which you have to learn in your new lifetime. And that energy is incredible, Jay, because it holds your memory of everything you've ever done. It holds all of the gifts you have, all of the talents that you have, that you can either choose to enhance on a brand new talent, or you can tap into that which you knew before. Just like you said to me, you had to have done this before. And you tap into that, and then you grow in the new lifetime. And if you've hurt somebody, that hurt comes back to you. And if you got married and you cheated, you may be married and have somebody cheat on you. Whatever it is. This is why the masters teach you to be thankful for everything that happens to you. Somehow you have to say, thank you for that experience. I know I'm growing closer to God. Because you can't have the experience unless you called it in. Just like you can't watch your favorite television show until you turn to the channel. Right?
That's a very good analogy to it, because many people, most people, are in a state of bewilderment.
Yes.
They are so detached because of distress from that perspective that they believe that things are happening to them.
Well, that's because they're in the third dimensional reality. Everything happens to me. I am powerless. I am worthless. I don't know what's going on. How come everybody's so rotten? And it makes them tend to be a little rotten. Sorry about that, Jay. But when you decide to start to meditate, that doesn't create magic, Jay. You have to work at it. You have to ask the God within to open up to you. Then you have to listen, and you have to walk the path of love. And it is very, very, very difficult. And we fall off it all the time. That's why we're in the body. But the whole secret to the soul is that it exists in the body to grow closer to God. It is the only way that we can ascend is to go through the lifetime. It's like you're going to Paris from London. You got to go through that tunnel. You have to go through that dark tunnel before you come out to Paris. And there you are. So that's another good example. If you want to get someplace, you have to go through your tunnel first. And there's always life tests. I write about our life cycles and life tests in Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul. And that book literally was given to me. I wrote it in 6 weeks. And it is a book about spiritual law. It is a book about how we're tested through life. It tells you what the masters expect us to achieve and how we all fall short, and wonderful exercises you can do to get closer. So I like that part of it.
So that started a whole bounce around of what's karma all about in the thing. So that was interesting what you were saying about the Book of Life.
Yes.
Versus the Akashic Record.
Yes.
That basically what you mean by the Book of Life, as a paraphrase, could be, and correct me if I'm wrong, but could be that you write a script for the movie that is the future JP, for instance.
That's playing now. Well, let's do an example of it.
Okay, let's go.
I'm teaching my school. They're in there like their second or third year. They're pretty good at meditating. And what I teach is morning meditation and nightly review. So in the morning meditation, you set your plans for the day. I also teach about staying in the moment. Don't let your worries, your guilt, and your upsets crowd your mind in the morning. They're not going to like it. I'm not going to do well. My boss is going to be angry. We got to get rid of all that stuff because that's past training. And that training came in from when you were very young. So you sit down and you visualize your day and you say, my day is going to go easy peasy, easy and quickly. There was one day when I had meetings. They were half an hour apart and they were in different locations. And in the morning, I sat myself down and I saw each meeting go and I saw myself driving there easily. And that everything, all the time schedules would be met properly. And I kept saying, this is going to be a wonderful day. I am so happy to be a part of this day. Everything is excellent. Everything is perfect. It's in balanced order. And I had a great day. And then that night, I really gave thanks for that day. But we don't have good days every day. We have worries. We have problems. We have concerns. And sometimes we don't handle them lovingly. We hand them with commands. How could you do that? He was so rotten to me. I was so insulted. My goodness. All that is ego. Easing God out. Ego. E-G-O. Easing God out. Then you're off center. You're not listening. And you're, what you say, taking it personally. But you're really in an energetic thing of, I'm angry with you, and you're going to tell me that you were wrong so that I know you love me. And that is third dimensional reality. In order to get to the fourth dimension, you have to look at the entire picture. You have to look at where you are, where you're living, why you're living there, why all the people around you are living there, what's going on with them, so that if you go to the post office and you want to buy stamps, and the man slams the money and your change at you and throws you the stamps, what you can do is start to bless him. Because it's not you he's angry at. He's under stress. He's got something that he's worried about. See if you can go to his energetic field and send him some light. And you'll be shocked at what that little thing will do for you.
This is where we can start to make differences in the world, in the world around you, because people are almost expecting us to spit blood at them. You know?
Yes, they are. You don't get very much chivalry anymore. You don't have somebody open a door for you. There was a four-year-old where I was this weekend. I was away this weekend, and he was helping the people through the door and going up and pushing the elevator button for them. And his mother said, why are you doing that? And he says, I want to help the older people come in. At 4 years old. And we get into so much of a rush. One of the rules in New York City is when you're getting off an elevator, the people outside wait for the people inside to exit before they come on. That's a subway law, and that's an elevator law. That's a natural law.
Yeah, you can't fill something that hasn't been emptied.
And the natural laws are the laws that are for everybody. There is no exceptions. So you stand and you wait, and you let the elevator empty first. Do you think people really do that? Don't you think there are some of them that try to push past the ones that are coming out because they're so much in a hurry for their day? Well, what made their day different from anybody else's day? And what people don't realize is the energetic confusion that you set with that, and you're not letting the energy of the people in the elevator flow out, so some of that might be held. And then when you go in to the elevator, by the time you're up the floor, you've absorbed that energy, and there's a whole energetic flow that gets disturbed when you don't follow natural law.
And the flow, when you do follow natural law, when you're as harmless as you can be, because humans are pretty harmful.
It's conscious.
Conscious. Not over, what's the word, overcompensating for things.
It's called me first. I'm on the plane now. We can fly. We don't need to let anybody else on because I'm on. It's consciousness. Consciousness. And there's many, many people that have consciousness. Wonderful people that do. But we're getting into these generations, this me first generation. You know, they're going to be our leaders pretty soon, and they've had no discipline. And they haven't been taught these things, which is why I've been writing these books. So that when they get really confused and they don't know where they are and they are lost souls, they can read this and perhaps begin to follow some of the laws. I have not seen a book in years that lists natural laws. And all the natural laws are in the back of Seeding and Garden. The Garden of Your Soul.
All right. That's good. Well, actually, Nancy might be interested in comparing her, what she calls rules of cosmic reality, and your cosmic law.
Well, the rules of cosmic reality is probably another buzzword for natural law.
More or less, yes. It's about thought creating matter and reality and things like that. So, would you like to kind of outline your, how many basic, do you have a set of basic ones and then a set of corollary ones, or does it, how many,
I have 25 natural laws.
25?
And they're all about the law of vibration, the law of unity, the law of vacuum, the law of suggestion, the law of dynamics, the law of sex, the law of silence, the law of relationships, the law of reality, the law of reconciliation, the law of new being. I'm telling you, this book I wrote in 6 weeks, and it came down like a thud. I remember walking around the house. I follow a lady by the name of Amarita Nandamayi. She's known as the Hugging Saint. And I've been sitting with her for 28 years. And this summer, when I was with her in New York, I asked her to put a book inside of me that would open up the hearts of people in the world. And then I started walking around the house saying, seeding and nurturing the garden of your soul, what's that? And I heard, this is your new book. I said, oh, great, terrific. I had no clue as to what it was about. So I wrote it down, and I read it to myself every single day. By the time I got to the seventh day, the book was downloaded. It was like a Kindle. And I knew exactly what I was going to do, and I wrote it.
And then it kind of fleshed itself out?
It flowed out. The first chapter is about what the masters expect of us. It's called Finding the Path to Love. And it's about what the masters expect of us. Discrimination, desirelessness, good conduct, moral actions, and love. And I start the book off with this sentence. What I have learned from the masters, both visible and invisible, I will try to relay and explain to you. And that starts it off. It's incredible. Self-control of the mind, self-control of your actions, tolerance and good conduct, cheerfulness, and just growing. One-pointedness, affirmations, that which I need shall be given and come to pass. Let's try that one, because that works. That which I need shall be given and come to pass. Now, that's very similar to pray, ask, and it will be received.
Yeah, or the law of attraction, indeed. If it's
the law of attraction leaves something out. I do not like the book, The Secret. I do not like it.
Has it got a secret that's been left out?
The secret is the divine. The divine has been left out. This is about accessing the divine. Now, let me tell you something. I had the most incredible out-of-body experience. Let me tell you this story, okay? I was watching these people go around and lecture, and there are some of them that are pretty famous, about what you should do and how you should be to become spiritual. That's the whole gig now, the oneness blessing. They don't realize that they're being programmed. That's another subject. What you should do and how you should be to be spiritual. No one can stand up and tell you what you should do and how you should be to be spiritual. The only person that can tell you that are your guides, your angels, and your inner helper. You can learn the principles and start to work on listening and opening up that inner voice. That's about it. So I was watching all these messages and the people doing the oohs and the ahs and what I call the Elvis Presley and the Beatles experience. You know, they're adoring these people. And I laughed my head off. And I saw a lady standing on the stage giving this message. I saw seven dark figures around her, and I saw that they were on the astral plane. So what I was being told, Jay, and this is really important, that most novice readers that don't practice meditation, that don't follow some of the things that are suggested in Garden, are reading and they're wowing people and they're casting spells and they're giving everybody what they want. Not what they need, but what they want. That's how you build karma, and the karma ain't good. But they were working from the astral plane. Then I was taken up higher and I realized that the astral plane is a vibrationary force. It's a vibration, Jay. There's so much beyond it. And what's beyond it is the heavens, space, the universes, and God.
So it's when like you're a stuck, barrier, isn't it?
Yeah. So when you're stuck in the astral plane, you're stuck in what I would call purgatory. You're stuck with the people that have not been able to ascend yet. They don't know any more on the other side than they know on this side. And you're listening to them, and they're telling you all these things, and they're telling you that they're angels, and they're really not angels. They're just playing with you. And there are certain things that you can do that are in my books. You can ask, are you of the light? I had somebody do that in Canada the other day. He had five of them around him. When he said, are you of the light, they said no. Once they say no, you can banish them. There was this one girl at a conference that I was at that had this Eric guy that was feeding her all of this, I called it energetic BS. And she was doing healing, and she was making people sick. Because if you have a healing with a person that's working from the astral plane, you are taking your life in your hands. You really are. That's why I'm very, very particular with who I work with. And all of a sudden, when she was sitting on a panel that we were on, she started to gyrate. You talk about mudras. She was gyrating and almost foaming at the mouth. And I knew that it was Eric, and I banished him. And people watched me do it. I had to do it to save her. And he took off. And then she came back to herself again. And she did not know what had happened.
That's the thing, isn't it?
And the next day she let him back in. But that was her decision.
Ah, see, this is the thing. When somebody is possessed, is going through a possessed phase, that they have, is essentially, they're not there, so their brain isn't imprinted with the memory.
Yes, the body is used by the entity, and the other one is like put to sleep or numbed, like, you know, giving Novocaine. The body is used by the entity. The entity feeds on the body, and the more that it feeds on it, the weaker the body becomes. Now, this is explained in a wonderful book that was written in 1930. It's called The Divine Romance by Paramahansa Yogananda-ji. That book and Man's Eternal Quest are very wonderful research books for anybody that wants to learn about this. And he explains it. He explains the difference between God and the anti-God. I don't mean Antichrist here. I mean an energy that is not purified. Let me say it that way. An energetic energy that you let into your body that is not purified has to leave a mark on you. It can be your gallbladder. It can be your appendix. It can be your internal organs. It can be a toothache. But they leave a mark on you, and what they'll do is they'll leave a mark on you in the weakest part of your body. And that's how disease comes in. Every single disease begins with a thought. And we are a walking radio antenna. We send out energy, and we get back that which we send out. That's karma. So you have present-day karma as well as your astrological karma. And here's the surprise, Jay. The astrological karma are set up in a series of 7 years, 5 years, 14 years, 28 years. So you don't have karma every single day with the astrology. But boy, when you set up karma, you can get it back at any time. But you're born with certain things, certain lessons you need to learn, and that can be very positive or it can be very negative, depending on your vibration, where you were born, and what you were able to learn, release, forgive, or learn and hang on to and create confusion.
Tell me more about learning. The last part, what did you say,
learning? Okay, let's take a baby that's born in New York City, in the ghettos, and what does he see at 3 years old? He sees people doing cocaine and crack. He sees people shooting guns. He hears people yelling and screaming and swearing. So by the time 5 years old has come and he's developed his language, can you imagine what he's going to say and what he's going to think? How do you heal from that beginning? Why are you put into that beginning? Because you chose it. We choose our parents. We choose our location. And what is it that we have to work on to release so that we can come up to a higher vibration? There are some wonderful people on this planet that have been able to shred that beginning and become great leaders. One of them is Oprah Winfrey. So that's something to think about, isn't it? You're born into a karmic family. The most important thing in your life is your immediate family that you're born into. And if you can understand them and who they are, You have a choice to accept your ancestry line, which is your Akashic records, or to bring that up to higher vibrations and bring in a new line of thinking, a higher line of thinking. When you do that for yourself, you are also carrying with you the vibrations of your ancestors. I think that is fascinating.
That is fascinating. And I, like many people, perhaps of my generation and the excesses of the 80s, many people have very little memory of their childhood. And a small series of experiences recently have opened those memories up.
Oh yes, you have to have memories of your childhood. Because that's where the trauma comes. Let me tell you something. Have you ever heard about a different energy in a different face with the same energy? Have you ever heard that expression?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the same energy in a different face. I married an alcoholic. Now I've divorced an alcoholic. Now I'm in love again. I'm going to get married again. Guess what? I'm going to marry an alcoholic. Then I'm going to divorce that alcoholic. I'm going to fall in love again. I'm going to get married again. I'm going to marry an alcoholic. I am not going to change that cycle until I raise my vibration.
Until you are not somebody who allows that happening.
That's correct. Until you become, it's called character. There's two things that we die with, and they're worth more than all the gold on the planet. Character and love. Character and love. And I'm telling you, I had a huge challenge with somebody that had really hurt me in this lifetime very badly, and this person was starting to die. They had cancer. And I had to go. I was told by my guides to go and thank that person for being in my life because they contributed to who I was now. You don't know, I fought that for 4 months. I fought it for 4 months. There was no way I was going to do that. How could I thank somebody?
Everybody's got their stuff, haven't they?
How could I thank somebody that had caused so much pain? I did it. And I'm telling you that when I started to do it, the energy, oh my goodness, you would have thought you were in a summer breeze under a willow tree by a beautiful lake and just enjoying life. It just flew. And the other person said, oh my gosh, I've got your heart back. So they knew right away. It was incredible. But we get too strong-willed, we get powerful, we get into our ego, and we can't do it. But when we can do it, the flow is incredible. And then we realize that when our life is over, every little thing we cared about, all the pettiness that everybody talks about, the illusion that we live in, goes away and nothing matters anymore. Nothing matters but harmony, love, peace, and harmony. And you go into this great love, a love that's beyond words. But if you can do it in the lifetime before the soul crosses, then you are then as you go back to your pod, you're lifting it up, you're bringing this greater light, this greater understanding, greater knowledge, greater awareness back to the soul school. And that can be used by everybody. So not only is it used on the earth, but it's used in the universe. And it creates a oneness. It creates a vibration that is accepting of all. That doesn't mean you have to like somebody's thoughts, and it doesn't mean that you have to like somebody's actions. We don't put up with the thoughts and the actions, but we put up with the spiritual truth. Because if a child hurts an animal, let's put it this way, because that does happen a lot, why is the child hurting the animal, and what is the child trying to do? There's something off balance. There's something out of order. It can have to do with they're hurting so much inside they don't know how to express it. They have seen other people hurt. For example, they may have seen their father beat their mother. They have seen things like this that are so unkind. They don't realize the full impact of what they do. So when that happens, how can you bring them back to a place of love? It takes time. It takes time, it takes thought, it takes caring, and it takes education. Not easy.
Because it takes patience.
Yeah.
Things don't change straight away in the third dimensional world. They take some weeks.
You know,
every
a week to 10 days, madam.
Oh, I love it that you said that, Jay. I love it that you said that because I do psychic readings all over the world. You know that. And I help people with their lives. And some of them are very haunted. Some of them are very willful. And some of them don't even care about spirit or God. They just want what they want when they want it without regards of consequences. And that's what I call really being spoiled. But to be willing to see it, once you see it, once I am given permission to work with the soul, which is who I work with when I do my readings, then that soul gets it. And even though the personality, which I call the poisonality, doesn't want to hear it at this point, the energy is set there for it to come on the body as it's needed to help the heart to soften. And it's a beautiful experience, but timing, you can't say it's going to be 2 weeks, 2 years, or 20 years, because it depends on free will. One lady stood up, she's dating a married man, she wanted the married man to leave his wife, and she wanted to marry him. And it would be breaking up a family, and of course I gave her that it wasn't going to happen, and this and that and everything. And she stood up, and she looked at me, and she said, "I don't know whether to love you or to hate you. I will tell you that I will never see you again because I cannot do what you're telling me I need to do." And she hugged me and she left. And that was a perfect recognition of what her soul was telling her to do, but what her personality was refusing to do. And she has that right.
You know, I want to take it to the analogy of your book title, indeed, the garden of your soul, because here we are literally in the Maya, there's the Maya and the mire, the poop of reality, the excrement of life. We are steeped in it. I mean, it's all around us, and the way to deal with it is to stick it on the garden and plant your seeds in it. So that's how we deal with our stuff.
Well,
yes?
we're writing our Akashic records, and if we're writing our Akashic records, then we're writing our next lifetime, aren't we?
Well,
yes,
okay.
We are building our next lifetime in this lifetime.
I was
by our decisions.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So say you were the author of Our Reality, just for instance, for 2015. What kind of script changes would you like to assign for various story arcs that are going on in the world? Let's be godlike for a second. And how would you rewrite the planet?
What comes to me is just a little saying. Remember that the misfortunes hardest to bear are those that never come. So we worry and we act on, oh, this is going to happen or, oh, that's going to happen, and it doesn't happen. Everybody has struggled with a problematic relationship. And everybody has struggled with blockages, whether it's money, whether it's career, whether it's education, or what. The only thing that I would do is probably introduce the circle of light and ask everybody to begin to go within. Going within and transforming the soul of the relationship first. Your relationship has to be transformed. Because we have something called expectations, and you know they say expectations will kill you. And there's many, many teaching books and workshops and seminars about relationships. But the outer, the physical part of the relationship will automatically follow. Your blockages will lift as soon as you can clear yourself. Because we have something new coming, Jay. Let me talk about this because this is what we're evolving to. And maybe this will help with the problem. It's called molecular recognition. Molecular recognition. Now, you know, when you meet people, sometimes you like them and sometimes you don't. Like you said when you and I met on Skype that an energy came in like an atom bomb and said, oh, my goodness, we need more of this. At least I hope that's what happened. And so
the molecules in me recognize the molecules.
Right. Well, that's repetition. We are moving into the next great stage of evolution and increase the complexity and beauty and form and perfection that's never been achieved since the beginning of time in any kingdom. We are going to do more than repeat what has been done before. Instead, we're going to create all things new. And that's what's coming. And that is definitely what I would call the golden age or the new age. Instead of all of this war, I'm going to teach you. We're going to win. Win what? You drop if you drop a nuclear bomb, you're going to kill the planet. How does that win? I don't get it. There isn't any winning with war. There's only winning with opening the heart and love, with silence, with understanding. When you bring that energy, it transforms everything. It can heal. It can take away disease. You know that's true, Jay, right?
Well, absolutely. It's all frequency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So my whole thing would be to raise the frequency of the planet, which in my small, teeny, tiny little way, I hope I'm doing a little bit of it.
Excellent response. So it's all about rewriting, well, realizing, number one, that you're in a movie. Really, number two, that you've written the movie yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
And realizing, number three, that the idea is that you get to the middle of the movie, realize that you're in the middle of it, realize that you're also the author, realize that you're also the actor, and then realize that you're also the director, and that's what they call direction in life.
Well, what you need to realize is, first, how did I bring this to myself?
How did I get here?
How did I bring this to myself? What lesson I need to learn? And how can I work through this with character? How did I bring this to myself? What is the lesson I need to learn? And how can I do this with character? The law says that you have to help make the other person's life better. Now, that's tricky, Jay. Because sometimes somebody just has to have no. You have a 2-year-old that wants to pull the boiling water down off the stove, and you have to teach him no and maybe slap his hand so that he can understand what burning feels like. Do you understand? That's why you slap the hand. You don't do it in discipline. You do it for them to understand that there's a pain. I don't believe that anybody should be spanked or hit unless they're putting somebody else's life in danger, because there's other ways. There's other ways to deal with it. But when you have an inner awareness and you have somebody even hit you with a car, the question is, where did that energy come from? And why did my car have to be hit? And isn't it wonderful that it just got a little tap while I was in shopping and it got a dent in the fender? And isn't it wonderful I wasn't on the road driving?
Or you weren't on a motorbike riding at 60 miles an hour while someone comes the other way.
Look at 9/11 and so many people that didn't go into work that day. If that building had been filled, there wouldn't have been 6,000 people. There would have been 25 to 30,000 people. But people couldn't get there. The baby cried. She had to go back to the crib. The man didn't have the change for the token. He had to go get change. There were all kinds of stories.
It was Tuesday. It was a Tuesday. Nobody likes Tuesdays. The best day to take off is a Tuesday.
I thought it was rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Oh, no. Well, you see, I tell you, look, here's the thing. This is what I used to do, because I used to work what they call flexi hours.
Uh-huh.
This is when I did have a job and I could influence the hours that I worked, which meant that I would work 4 days a week, longer per day, so I could make up the hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd work Monday, and I'd realize that the next day would be a day off. So Monday also became a Friday halfway through. Okay? Then Tuesday comes, and I have the day off. I sleep and get over the weekend that I've just had the long one of. And then I'm ready to go back to work on Wednesday. Now, Wednesday comes, and you're already halfway through the week. You know, everybody's getting ready for the weekend. Thursday comes, it's almost the weekend, and then it's Friday. And, you know, Friday's, you know, the day that you never do any work, and then Saturday comes, and you know, the whole weekend, that's when you go out rock and rolling. Anyway, but that's how I used to work the world. Now I do it a slightly different way, because every day has a color.
Every day's a holiday?
Every day's a holy day, and every day has a color.
It does, that's true. But, you know, you don't know what the color is until you get up, because you have to meditate to know what your color is. I'm talking about personal colors, because we vibrate, and the vibration brings us two things. I don't know if people know this. It brings us a tone, a vibration, a tone, a frequency, and it also brings us a color. And that's, you know, you get up in the morning and you choose your clothing, and there's your color. A lot of people wear browns on rainy days. Too many people wear black, should not wear black, especially if you're unhappy. Black is okay for funerals, but black stops the energies from coming on the body. A lot of people don't know that. Oh, it's a powerful color. Well, it's a powerful color depending on how you want to use the power. White has all the colors. So it's fascinating, isn't it?
Absolutely. I used to wear all white in the 1980s. But then, from 1988, one day I threw most of my furniture away, and everything else that was left was painted white. I threw the carpets away and painted the floorboards white.
There you go.
I started wearing white.
And
I realized that it was some
cleaning.
It was some form of cleansing, yes.
Sure, sure. And then you bring in the colors, and you can bring in the colors of joy. On my website, under the chakras, on the left side of my website, there's a table of contents. And if you go down and click the chakras, not only will you see what the chakras look like, but I have the universal color chart of what all the colors mean. So if you go there at www.new-visions.com and you read the color chart, you can understand what kind of a mood you're in when you put on red, or you put on orange, or you put on a light blue or a dark blue. It's your mood. I always like to put on the opposite of what I think my mood is, though, sometimes, to help me balance it, depending. If it's depressed, then I have to wear red to get out of depression. If you want to have a baby, put a red light in the bedroom. Red light bulb in the bedroom.
When I feel a little depleted, I like to eat red food. I find that's a very instant lift.
See, that's a Chinese.
I was just about to say, Chinese food has a particular thing, you know.
Sure.
Very red food. When I think red food, the first thing I think of is Hong Kong-style sweet and sour chicken.
Oh, there you go. Lobster. Lobster.
Lobster.
Actually, I thought of borscht soup for whatever. But I have a German background. That's why I thought of borscht soup. Red.
Absolutely. Borscht. Borscht and tears. So, we're coming up to the top of the hour, so we'll be hearing this little guitar tune and then lots of rock and roll. So I'll take you out of the call there. I've been playing some rare groove Beatles in the breaks here, so maybe I'll have some of that.
Yesterday,
let's see if we can find yesterday. I've got like Beatles bootlegs and other things I've lost the. There we go. Hard Day's Night. So you like the early stuff?
I'm thinking of the karma of yesterday, and it's been a hard day's night. It's about karma, so I thought I'd throw it in. The Beatles, you know, were divine. They were sent. They really opened up the new age.
Yes. Hang on. Yes, I'll find that in a second. So, before the music comes on, talk a little bit about the Beatles.
Oh, well, I think the Beatles were divinely inspired as a group to open the world up to opening the heart. And their music will be forever. They really brought in some wonderful, wonderful change to the world.
We'll be back in a few beats of your rhythmic soul. Squiddly Billy, Widdly Billy. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. So, let's just take a moment to relax after the interval and being shouted at. Okay, so my guest tonight, Elizabeth Joyce. If you wish to speak with Elizabeth, she will tell you some amazing things. You just need to give her your name and your date of birth, and your time and place, if you can. That would be best. But combining astrology with a with already psychic perception has given her a unique way of looking and. Do you see, for instance, all right, like I was talking about, if I'm a computer programmer and I look at code, I can imagine what is going on inside the processor. Yeah, that's the kind of machination that I'm modeling in my brain. When you look at a chart of astrology, what are you seeing? Planets? Are you seeing qualities?
I just see energy.
How do you see energy?
I have no idea.
What does it look like? How does it feel? What does it?
I feel it, and then I bring the energy in, and then I have to bring with in also the second part. Is there higher guides so that I can see how the energy is being used? It's like an embracing thing. Call it a hug. My energy envelops their energy, and then I take a straw and I take their energy out one by one. And sometimes I can get very agitated because their higher self has been trying to reach them for so long, and the higher self gets excited. I wanna see this. They've got to know, can't they know? And then I start to shake. You know what I'm saying? If somebody hasn't been listening, the higher self is anxious to tell them. It's almost like when you go to a seance and your person on the other side is trying to give you a very important message. And it's just very interesting. It's probably a little bit of molecular recognition.
Because, you know, I get the same thing with crystals. I build little devices with crystals and, you know, I ask them, because they're little living beings, would you like to be part of this experiment? And they go, yeah, really, really, I'm really excited. This is my favorite thing. You know, they got that sort of canine kind of excitement about, you know, what experience they can experience just as in their brief, you know, almost infinite life, connecting with this little fast-moving entity, i.e. us, that can schlep it around and put it in various things and help it experience beingness.
I used to be very involved with crystals, and they're quite powerful. When I sleep in a bed of crystals, I have wild dreams. Because I think they bring purification and spiritual awakening. And they help us to develop a higher emotional body. Did you think of that?
I stuff crystals in every part of my bed. I've got a slab of granite under my heart center. I've got a bag of shungite under my pillow. I've got a bag of salt under my neck.
My mother used to put salt under the bed when she had leg cramps.
Uh-huh. I got pyramids. I got two pyramids at the foot of my bed with a pyramid inside. I got a tetrahedron infused with several tetrahedrons with a sphere inside. That's hanging at the foot of the bed. I'm not kidding. You're my girlfriend.
So are you psychic?
I bloody well ought to be.
That's right,
for all
that. Are you
psychic? If I'm two psychics meet in the street. Oh, you're all right. How am I? Anyway, meanwhile.
Yeah, absolutely, because we can't read ourselves.
That's right. That's right. It's true. It's true. It's anyway, so actually, I need to make the official statement announcement, station announcement. Tan tan da. Excellent. Here's the, where is it? Hang on. Oh, there's Justin. All right, there we go. If you come up to ourfreedomnetwork.com/auction, all items are up for bid and the auction will end on the 14th, giving those offering items time enough to ship before the holiday. So come along to the Revolution Radio Christmas Holiday Auction at ourfreedomnetwork.com/Squiddle.com/auction And you can have fun there buying things, which are really nice. And they support the station, and everybody has a nice Christmas. Oops, did I say Christmas? Am I not allowed to say Christmas?
Yes, you are.
I say Christmas.
You certainly can. And all other holidays combined.
Yeah, that's right. Christmas, Hanukkah, Eid, you know, Ramadan.
Ramadan, yeah.
Whatever, you know, Wesak. I know, wrong time of year. But anyway, your winter holiday solstice moment of gift exchange will be enhanced if you visit ourfreedomnetwork.com/auction. There you go. That would be good. So, meanwhile, somewhere on the astral plane, or somewhere above the astral plane, because we're talking, and this is the level that I like to talk, because, you know, you talk about many psychic talks is all about astral this, you know, they're all, oh, I went on this journey and I saw this thing and it was all weird. But it's really just a veil of illusion. You can get completely lost.
Yes, we talked about the astral plane.
It's like an arcade of old games.
Well, it's like you're sitting at a desk and you think the desk is hard and you think it's solid and it's not. It's got all kinds of air in it because it's an illusion. We don't have anything solid. Everything vibrates.
That's right. And if you're on a ship like the USS Eldridge, you can walk through the bulkheads at certain times. Meanwhile, so we dive into these bodies. Now, all right, what if you're on a mission? here's my question. What if you're on a mission and you come in at a certain time, you're due to come in with all your mates, and your parents suddenly, for instance, get killed in a car crash while they're pregnant with you?
Is that something that is planned? Yes.
Even if they're assassinated?
Yes.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. You know about vibration. And you absolutely have to be aware of, if you know about vibration, that there's low dark vibrations. Let's go there for a minute, okay? Like people use that Adolf Hitler as an example. But what about the criminals and the people who commit murder? They're in that low dark vibration. And you want to come up again. You've been in that vibration and you somehow purify enough to be chosen by the pod school to reincarnate. But your vibration is not ready to host a human body for a lifetime. So you have to have a refresher experience. And to help the grieving heart of mothers who miscarry or mothers who abort in any way, just know that the soul knows that before you are impregnated and that you have done a great service by lifting the soul up to a higher vibration, and that the next time they go someplace into somebody's body, that vibration, it will be able to incarnate. So it's a process. It's part of a process. And without it, we could not have life. Think of planting daffodils, and you have 8 bulbs. One of them doesn't grow, but all the rest do. Why? So that's how you look at it. So when anything happens to you, it's a process and there's always a reason. And in this case, when babies are aborted and sometimes they're not ready to come in, sometimes they come in and the soul can't host the body. That would be crib death syndrome, for example. The soul doesn't necessarily come into the body until sometimes the 3rd month, so I'm told. And I'm talking about the soul that's going to live the lifetime. That doesn't mean there's aren't other things there that trade places with it off and on. But this is very interesting stuff, and we're just getting to it. We're just getting to the knowledge about how this all works. Molecular recognition. That's our new phase.
Okay. Expand the concept of molecular recognition, please, Elizabeth.
Well, you know how we are now, I'm telling you. We can go into an office, and women that have been there for years, and then you have the new young girl, and they all get very jealous about her, so they all try to trip her up, and they try to make her look bad, and they try to make her look not so hot because they're jealous, and they can't stand it. They're losing their looks or their femininity or whatever, so they start picking on the young girl. Okay? Now, when we get to molecular recognition, that's not going to be anywhere on the planet. that's going to be all gone. And we're going to vibrate and have people work with us that can work in harmony to get the job done. The most important thing is going to be the focus of getting the work done, and the ego gets removed. Carl Jung wrote about this in the 1900s. He wrote about astrology and work, and he said that everybody that works together should have the same moon sign. And then the numerologists say that if you get married and you both are in the same vibrationary year, you'll have a good marriage. It's very interesting. The Chinese have taught this for years, centuries. So we need to learn about molecular recognition. We need to learn about where people fit. I don't know if anybody saw the movie The Dead Poets Society. I know Robin Williams was in it. And, of course, it's a great movie because it's a movie about how a father wants his son to become a doctor. And that's the last thing the son wants to be. But he won't listen. The father won't listen. Great movie. We have to learn to tune in to the hearts of our children and guide them towards that which they need to be. That's why I do everybody's karma, Jay. I'm now for Christmas, I'm preparing the astrological chart and the karma for the babies that are born, so at least the parents can have an idea of where they're coming, what they're coming out of. It's very interesting.
Excellent. So, we have our first caller. This is Karen from, who's calling in from Revolution Radio.
I just need a birthday.
Yeah, so all we need is a birth date and...
The day, month, and year. That's all I need.
Okay. She should be coming. All right.
Where is she calling?
There you are. Okay, Karen, good afternoon.
Hey, JP.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. How about you guys?
When is your birthday, Karen?
May 9th, 1952.
And where are you calling from?
Near Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, that's my favorite place.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know Richard Shulman, but we're very close friends.
I know.
Asheville, North Carolina. Do you? What is your question?
Oh, I'm not sure I have a real question. I'm just sort of, I don't know. I feel kind of like I'm in between missions or something. I'm just kind
of...
You
are.
Yeah.
You are. You're at the end of a cycle because you're a Taurus and you're opposed Scorpio, and Saturn is leaving Scorpio, and it's going to go into Sagittarius on Christmas Eve. So you are winding down. You are finishing up. And I do not believe you'll have your new inspiration much before the solstice. The solstice is a very important one this year because we have the full moon, the solstice, and Saturn changing signs all at the same time. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
So perhaps from then until now, you could meditate on what direction you need to go in, or choose a direction and just say, that which I need will come to me and I will be directed. The other thing that's happening is the Uranus-Pluto square on the 15th of December. That's number 6. The last one is March 16th, 2015. And this all started in 2012. And this energy is cleaning up the planet. And things are being exposed that have been hidden. And the truth is coming out. And the most difficult ones are the first one, which was in 2012, and the last one, which is in March. So if you've been hoping to make a change, or you've been wishing that you could start to manifest something that hasn't happened yet, this is when it will happen.
I guess for me, like right now, my biggest issue is forgiving for the last relationship that, you know, I broke off about 3 years ago.
But let's go beyond that. Let's go to the relationship before that. And let's go to the relationship that you have with men in general. And I'm going to ask you a very strange question. What is it about your father or your brother that you have not forgiven? And you need to meditate on that because you're bringing in the same energy in a different face. Mm-hmm. And this, of course, is processing. So anytime you want to go to my website and order some time, that would be fine. I have a session called Psychic Services. And I really appreciate it. But remember, you're coming into something brand new. And the Tauruses and the Scorpios really are. You're going to be identifying with yourself and who you are. And you're a beautiful child of God. I'm sure that you can bring forth that which is right for you.
Yeah. And I have, my moon is in Scorpio, my rising's in Scorpio, I've got like five planets.
Okay. You will be moving. You will be moving, and you will be moving probably within the first 6 months of 2015. And I want to thank you for calling, Karen. I'd love to follow up on another time.
Thank you. Okay.
So, that's Karen. And then we had another caller who came in, so I'm going to call them back because they had their mic open, and there was background noises, and I didn't want to interrupt you, so... let's see if we can call them back and give them a little.
And the name?
We don't know yet. It was just area code 403. Hello there.
Hi. Well,
you're live on air on Studio B. Would you mind turning off your radio, please?
I just did.
Thank you very much. Well, all we need is your name and your date of birth, please, my love.
Okay, it's March 17th, 1948, and my name is Helen.
Ellen?
Helen.
Helen.
H-E-L-E-N.
Hi, yes. Helen. How are you? Where are you calling from? I'm asking everybody that.
Canada.
Oh, great. Where about?
Calgary, Alberta.
All right. I love working in Canada. I like to go to Vancouver. Sometimes I do the fairs there. So, Helen, you are going to be going through a huge change, and this will be happening during the spring month of 2015. What is your question?
What is this change, and what I'm pursuing now, my passion, how... What kind of a direction will it take, and how fast is it going to percolate?
Okay, what is the direction? May I know what the business is going to be?
I'm writing a book about the
business
system.
Mm-hmm. You know, your birthday is the day after mine, so I know that you're a good Pisces, and I'm sure that you're going to be an excellent writer. And I think that this is going to open up for you. And not only is the book going to get out there, but you're going to be giving some kind of procedure to help children grow and learn. And I see you eventually making, the DVDs for the Internet to have these classes out there to help people. So keep up the good work. You haven't met the people that are going to put you in place yet, but you will. I want you to look for an Edgar. And I want you to look for a genie. Because I feel these people in your aura, and they're not in yet because you're not quite ready, but it is starting. So don't give up. Write a little bit every day. This is going to be wonderful for you.
Well, talking about molecular cell, recognition.
Yes.
I just looked it up on the computer after you mentioned it. But I do it with my body to get you healthy. And you do it as your consciousness arises, and as you go to the divine source.
Yep. Good girl. You're on your way. Now all you need to do is read Garden of the Soul, and you'll be there.
I will. And we don't, I have thought about soul for a very long time, and, it's if it's not addressed and looked at, then it's dismissed. And, simple things. So often we call our children kids, and in the media they would call kids. And I keep saying to them, don't call them children. Their sense of belonging.
You know what? I really agree with you. I've been saying that for years. Helen, it's been wonderful working with you. Thank you for calling, and I hope that we can keep in touch.
And thank you for calling back, because I didn't know that you were... I had hung up thinking that...
You're too important not to call back.
Thank you so much. Well, you're important, too. Well, everybody's important. And we
thank you.
And significant in the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So, wow, that was... Brilliant. So, now we got lots of, there's more people. Where are you? There you are, my dear. Okay, let's add in Mona, who was...
Mona.
This is Mona Radler, who is, herbal floozy. Herbal floozy in the chat room. And where are you, my dear? She's gone. She's not even picking up her headphones. She's probably making tea and...
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, who knows? Anyway, well, let's wait until Mona gets on. She's probably...
Well, you know what I can do while you get Mona? Why don't I just tell people a little bit about these colors, and then when you get her, you can just let me know. When you see... Yeah. You see colors sometimes around you, or you see it in front of you. You get into a car and you might see a red dot or a green dot or a blue dot and wonder what that's all about. And usually it's about your spinal column and your foundation giving you the color of the day. And I have a whole list of them. White and near white is high spirituality, and it's a very positive connection. Gold shows that you're mastering something. So if you're going to have that college exam and you're driving over and you see flashes of gold, you're going to pass. Don't worry about it. Silver usually connects two people that are choosing to share. And it also can be a sign of very strong creativity. Silver is a great color. Lilac or violet is a spiritual opening with a simple and unselfish nature. And students studying spirituality or wanting to open the third eye will see a lot of lilac, because that's the color of the crown chakra. Dark, clear blue indicates a spiritual feeling, and it's usually a signal of the divine mother energies, the gentle energies that bring spiritual ideas and the presence of the feminine energies. But if you see muddy blue with brown through it, then it's being selfish. Or it could be that somebody's not telling you the truth, or that they're not as spiritual as you thought they were. So it can be a little bit of an effort to communicate this in a gentle way. Then indigo shows a psychic connection with the other person. Indigo is always the color of karma. It's the color of the third eye because the reason that indigo is the color of the third eye is because the third eye represents our karma. And it's how we see the world. And as it gets lighter, because it eventually becomes white, like a crystal. As the third eye eradicates or melts away the indigo and it opens, that is when you have freedom, and then you can see thought and you can see your energies and you can communicate differently to people. Yellow shows active intellect combined with spirituality, the correct balance of energy. And yellow brings strong vitality. So supposing you wake up in the morning and you're blowing your nose and you have a little earache and you have to go to work, wear yellow, wear orange, because this will give you the energy. It's the same thing as taking a vitamin. And this is the power of color. Yellow-gray can show an approaching illness. Sometimes you'll see people's faces. Have you seen that, Jay, with the yellow-brown color?
Yeah, that's like there's a... There's a pallor, they call it like a cloud. But we have a couple of callers, right? We've got a good stack now. So Mona, if you can mute for a second, I know you can mute your mic, and we'll come to you because we'll take area 816. Would you like to give us your name and your birth date and indeed where are you calling from?
This is Mark.
Mark,
and Kate.
Hi, Mark.
Good evening. My birth date is 2/11/59.
And where are you calling from, Mark?
Kansas City.
Kansas City. Here I come.
Yes.
Very good. What can I do for you, Mark?
Oh, I've been thinking about moving towards Central America around Panama and maybe Nicaragua, and I just wonder if there's...
Well, do you do research? Science research?
More telecom-oriented.
Uh-huh.
Optics, BWDM systems.
I'm getting for you, Mark, that there will be a move, and I'm getting that might be as soon as April. I'm also feeling that they're telling you Panama is more desirable. Nicaragua is about to go into some chaos. China is going to try to build a canal, and that's going to upset that country, so you might not want to choose Nicaragua. I know Panama you can work with, as well as I'm hearing Costa Rica. Had you thought of Costa Rica?
Yes, just not decided on anything, really, just kind of...
What you need to do, what's suggested that you do, is to take a trip down to each one of them and spend at least 3 days, one full day, and find out about your internet connections. Find out which would be best, and if you can be on the internet easily in the country, because a lot of these third world countries do not have your internet availability, and you need that. So
okay.
Make sure.
Yeah,
and the right one will come. You just keep meditating. Put me in my right place. Ask your guides to put you in your right place, because you are going to have the opportunity.
Yeah, I kind of planned for this about 6 months ago.
And I want to tell you something else very strange that's going on. Spirit's asking me, have you ever considered Portugal?
Wide open for anything, really.
Well, that was just another thought. So investigate all three and then make your choice. And you can
Portugal.
Always contact me for a reading if you want to. Down the road. Yes, I heard Portugal. Tell them about Portugal. I don't know why. Because it might have something to do with internet connection. I don't know. But you want to make sure that you're going to have the basics. And for us Americans, we need to have the internet without problems. And there's a lot of places that don't provide it. And when you go and spend your 3 days, you're going to know by the people that you meet. It's called being supported by the universe. You will be supported by the universe. It'll be an easy trip. You'll meet wonderful people, and you'll come back and you'll go, I'm so glad I went there. So let me know what happens, and thank you for calling.
Will you post your website, I guess, in chat by chance?
Yes, I'll do that. Thank you very much, Mark.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so waiting patiently here is Mona. Mona, wake up. Put it down. In the ashtray now.
Hello, Mona.
Evening, Elizabeth.
When is your birthday?
5-3-58.
And where are you calling from?
Close to Asheville.
Oh, another Asheville lady. Good. What can I do for you?
Well, for one thing, I'd like to give thanks for everywhere that I've come from and going to and now. But just a general something I might not be able to see that you just might have.
No, sorry, I'm not giving full readings. I'm asking direct questions.
Direct questions.
If you don't have a question, we'll go on to the next person that does.
Okay, then.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Okay, Noreen.
Hi, how are you? Am I echoing? I think I'm echoing, huh?
Hi, Noreen. When is your birthday?
March 26, 1970.
And what can I do for you tonight? Where are you calling from?
Orange County, California.
Oh, good. One of my favorite places. Mm-hmm. What can I do for you? What's your question?
Oh, I just tuned in. JP said that looking for people who want a reading, and I didn't get to hear anything that you said earlier.
Too bad. I'm asking for a direct question concern.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Let me see. What do you see for me in terms of a better way to make a living?
The first thing that's coming is your education. Have you been a little lax with your education, Doreen?
I don't know about that. I mean, I just have a degree, but I haven't utilized it, and I don't see myself.
You're not educating yourself the way you need to. Now, I don't know what that means, Noreen. Only you do. And if you have not been applying yourself to what you train for, maybe that's not the direction you should go in. And if that's true, then you might want to find out about some of your karma that you brought with you, because you do have talents. Anytime you want to do that, you can contact me and I can write it out for you. But other than that, I do know that you're going to have a sudden change. I do know that April, May, and June are going to be important months for you, and you're going to step forward into a whole new world that they're not telling me what it is. And I think the reason that I'm not being shown is that you haven't decided yet. So So that means that you have the energy for success, and all you need to do is to really focus on what that area will be, and it will come, whether it's cutting hair, being in the movies, or teaching swimming, whatever it is, whatever you choose, you will be able to manifest. And you also have a new love coming.
That's crazy, but okay. No, that's cool. Actually, it's good.
I mean, it's going to be a good year for you, Noreen, and I want you to really learn how to apply the energies to make the most out of it. So we can certainly be in contact through my website, and it's been wonderful talking to you. Thank you for calling.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, JP and Elizabeth. Thank you.
Okay, Noreen, thank you very much. So the next question actually comes from somebody who's speech impaired. So on behalf of Michael Anthony, his birthday is January the 1st, 1956.
Oh my, that's wonderful.
And he's born
Anthony?
Michael Anthony.
Okay.
So he's born.
And where do you know where he's calling from?
He was born in Honolulu, now living in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Is it Berkeley or Barclay? You say Berkeley, don't you?
Berkeley, yeah.
Berkeley. And he's been considering a move out of the country and would like to hear if this is in the cards. But also, and I think this is more important, he hasn't eaten solid foods and his speech has been screwed up since 2007. Mm-hmm. Almost afraid to ask if these issues will be resolved in the near future. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling I would have to leave the country just for medical dental care alone. But would like to know if the speech issue and eating will ever be resolved in this life.
Well, I'm feeling that it will be. You know, I wanted to tell you about a January 1st birthday. It's a very, very high vibration. He's the Lord of Lords, and very few people are born on January 1st. So I want you to know that, Michael. I want you to know that you have a wonderful vibration inside that you can tune into. I want to ask you, in 2006 and 2007, what was it that traumatized you? I also would encourage you to work with an energetic healer. I know one of the best. She, her name is Louisa Rajay, and she wrote a chapter in the Garden Book. Yes, I do feel that you can restore. In fact, I know that you can restore the eating, getting off of liquids and going back to solid food. I know that it can come back to you. Just surrender to it. There's a lesson with it. There might be some kind of a deep belief that you don't deserve to thrive. So if you start thinking, I thrive, I am thriving, my life is wonderful, thank you, God, for all challenges you're giving me, I'm going to work through it. It will be very helpful to you. So I'm going to say that if you move, it would either be to Germany or England if you wanted to get this kind of medical care that you're talking about. And I'm also feeling something about Switzerland. So this is Europe that I'm feeling with you. I don't know if you have relatives there or not, but I will say that this is, a lot of this is karmic. Some of this is some of the things that you brought in, and you can shred them just by raising your vibration. And one way to raise your vibration, and this is for everybody listening, Jay, there is a mantra that's been recorded. It's called Ardas, A-R-D-A-S, and it means prayer beyond prayer. And it's in the Crimson series, number 6. And if you get Ardas and you play it, I even sleep with it playing, it will help you raise your vibration. It uses toning, and it uses a mantra, and it's really calling out to God to help you expand your knowledge. So good luck, Michael. I'd love to have an email from you at some point. It would be my honor. Thank you for calling.
Excellent. So now we're going to go off the wall. Here is Hiro. Hi, dude. How are you?
Hello, JP. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello, Hiro. When is your birthday?
Oh, are you going to read me? Okay.
You have a question. She needs to have a question.
Otherwise, we'll just chat.
I was just texting JP privately, but I didn't expect this to happen. So.
Well, that's when you text me on the air, and so you're liable to get called in and say, hello, you're live on the air on Revolution Radio Studio B, a fully listener-supported station. Please support the station and its Christmas party. Anyway.
You got that in. That's good, Jay.
Yeah,
Hiro,
yeah,
when's your birthday? Let's have some fun.
Yeah, come on. Hiro, when's your birthday, mate?
But if I do this, won't I be, like, pinpointed and everyone will know who I am?
Yes, but everybody knows who you are anyway. You call an everyday...
No, they don't. They only know the silly character, the clown.
Anyway, your birthday, please.
Oh, that was very authoritative, so I have to do that.
I think that we need to skip this, Jay, because he's really not focusing and they're just telling us the
28th July. Do you have to have the birth year?
The year.
Well?
Yeah, the year.
1970.
Oh, another 1970. Noreen's in 1970 as well. So July 28th, and you're calling from Milton Keynes.
The West Midlands. I bought in. Do you need to have the specific? You'll find me.
No.
Yes, it's.
That'll loop.
That's not.
Okay. Listen to Elizabeth now, Hiro. Listen.
Well, Hiro, I can't work with you unless you are in agreement with me. And this is very interesting. This is good for people to understand. I don't do fun and games. I'm very serious. And I would love, if you do have a trouble on your heart, for you to ask about it. And if you choose not to, that's perfectly fine.
Okay. I can do that away from birth date. I do have a trouble on my heart, is that I find it very, very difficult to be good to people, because every time I am good to people, I find that they use it in the opposite way and feel this is some form of weakness, and I must come back.
Okay, and I understand that. You're a Leo, my goodness. You're a Leo, and you have to be number one, and you should be. You're a wonderful leader, Hiro, and I'm telling you that you have to ask your body why they're bringing in these people, because your vibration needs to be risen up, and you need to only allow people into your aura field who are in harmony with you. So that's the first thought that you can try to work with. I do not choose to repeat this karma of bringing in negative people, people who are destructive, or people who do not appreciate me. Now, Hiro, when I started doing this, and I had this happen to me a lot for many, many reasons, it took me 2 years to get it to the place of where my life is good. So I'd like you to do a little bit more meditation, and I'd like you to say, I'm only bringing into those people into my life who are in harmony with me, so that we can work together for the common good. And you will see things
begin
to change. Yes, it does. It works. Not if you question it.
Because there's a truth you can bring people. I find that's true. You can bring people that are positive into your life. Unfortunately, what you're not paying attention, there are a lot of people that want something that you've got, and they sort of drag themselves into your life, and you have to spend all your time, you know, washing, showering. Get away from me, please.
Hiro, you don't have to do that. Not anymore. First of all, you don't want them into your life, so you need to stop bringing them into your life. Whoever you meet, you have called into your life. So
there,
work on your auric shield.
Yes, this is my fault. That's the real question.
Yes.
You are correct. How am I doing this?
Work on your aura shield. It's called patterning. It's been your pattern. You told me that you've done this forever. Work on building the strength of your auric shield. Now, there's many, many ways to do that. In my books, I explain exactly how to do it and give you exercises. I don't know if you work your chakras, but I have created a fabulous, and I've sold thousands of them, meditation called The Chakras in Your Body that you can get on my website and work with it every day for 4 months without stopping, every day, and wrap that aura up. And in the morning, when you do your morning meditation, absolutely command that all negative energy leave your life. And you're not going to accept it anymore. Then you can ask for a warning. Now, a warning can be that somebody stumbles. It can be that you see a flashing color. It can be a gut feeling reaction. Whatever it is, trust it. Because when I had that happen to me and I was in the middle of dispensing that habit, I would see lime green. It would flash in front of me like a lightning bolt. And that's deceit and lies. Your body always knows when somebody's being deceitful, lying to you, or wanting something from you instead of giving, being a giving, harmonious person. I know that we have givers, Hiro, and we have takers, and we also have people that are harmonious and just want to be and share. You can pick up on that. Teach yourself how to pick up on that. And ask for guidance from your divine helper, and you will get it. It takes work, but I know you can do it.
Thank you so much for calling in, Hiro.
I believe in that. I used to have I don't know about the way that people talk about things now, but as a child I used to have a divine helper, but it was a strange one. It was like it was a reflection of me that sat on the clouds, but he was different, and everything he did was perfect, and he used to watch everything that I do down here, as if everything was wrong, and he'd sort of shake his head.
Well, you know, you can fire your guides and you can ask for higher guides. That's another thing that the audience should know. We have a right to fire our guides if they are not going to aid us and help us, and ask for higher guides. I would work on that. I think it's just a matter, Hiro, of developing your sensitivity. You're going to have a great year. All the way through August, you have wonderful, good things coming to you. Trust the universe and ask for guidance. And if you don't like what you see, fire them and get somebody new.
Okay, thank you. I'm so
You're
glad
welcome.
I interrupted. Thank you. I'll be listening. Bye-bye.
Bless
thank
your heart.
You.
Bye, Joe. Hiro. So, that was very interesting. And I'm just getting some lovely feedback from Michael, Michael Anthony. Thank you so much. I mean, he said he was, you know, tearing up when he was feeling his energies. So great blessings. And this is part of the mission, isn't it? The mission, as you said before, every person that you meet, make them come away smiling. They've got something better. They've gone beyond. This is why I call my show Ever Beyond. Because even if I've got some highfalutin guests, that I always like to even give them something that they didn't have before.
Yes, it's a touch of spark. I call it a spark of energy. It's like a light to the flame, like you're lighting a candle. And what you're doing is you're uplifting some of their fear and you're dissipating it. It'll never come back, and you're giving them a bit of joy. And that's really what we can do as human beings, Jay. And then they open up their heart and they can pass it forward and they can begin to work on what they need to eliminate from their life. And this is what's coming. This is going to be our new molecular recognition and going in a new direction. And I love it. I really think all of us should work on it a lot more. We have to have peace in this country. We have to have peace.
We have to have peace in ourselves and spreading out all over the world. Area code 802, your birthday, please, and your name, and where you are right now.
Hello, JP. Chris from Vermont. Green Art 1 in the chat. Birthday is January 29th, 1973.
What's your question, Chris?
How is the best way to interact with my mom, my brother, and one of my two sisters over Christmas, because I haven't really forgiven them for interfering with my life?
Okay, stop right there, Chris. First of all, you've got to work on the forgiveness. But this is what I would do. I would sit and I would work my chakras first and get myself into real light. Then I would visualize Christmas Eve and Christmas Day going smoothly. And as I was visualizing this coming Christmas, I would release all of my anger, because whatever happened to you, believe it or not, you chose. Whatever happened to you has added to the growth of the soul. So let it go. Let it go and let the heart open to their vibration. Your mother honored you. Your sister honored you because of how you were feeling about yourself within. When you understand that and understand what happened, and I'm not saying you liked it, of course not, but when you understand it, you will rise above it. It will never happen again, and you can release it and let it go. It was a lesson that you had to learn. Perhaps in a past life, you were ruling over somebody. Now just say, I got it. I don't need any more lessons. Everything's going to be love, peace, and harmony. Why don't you ask yourself what you can do for them to make their day better? Work on that thought. What can I do for my mother that will make her day better? What can I do for my sister that will help her along? Whether it's a gift, whether it's a ride, whether it's a phone call, whatever it is, do it with joy. And you will find that you are shifting and creating a new memory, which then you can build on. And good luck to you.
Thank you. That is wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're
God
welcome.
Bless.
You too.
So, thank you very much, Chris. And excellent, yes. Excellent, good. That's what the Skype says. Yes, it's excellent, good. Yeah, always. How do you rate the call? So, I think at this point, I'd like you to, first of all, thank you. I'd like to thank you, first of all, Elizabeth. It's been a brilliant journey, a real pinnacle point. There was something that you wished to do, which was to bring in a blessing. But first of all, where you're going to appear next? You got any radio interviews? What's the next book?
Well, I'm waiting to hear from Coast to Coast. I guess I don't know if you know of Coast to Coast in Scotland. But
I've never heard of Coast to Coast. Nobody's ever heard of Coast to Coast.
I've been on twice. I'm waiting to go on again, and I'm going to be doing more on YouTube. And I'm going to be updating my website and get more technical. Anybody that can help me get out to the social media, I would love to hear from. And I quiet down over the holidays. You know, I've had some family losses recently, real heavy. So this is going to be a quiet holiday, and then I'll start teaching again in January. And twice a year I do a psychic fair, and we raise money for charity. And in October, we just raised $1,000 for the SPCA for the animals. And this time we're going to raise it for the Red Cross for the homeless, and also for one of the churches, local churches, so they can do more of their work. And that's what I do. And I'm writing a novel, Jay. My first novel.
Oh, right. So you've written seven books, but this is the first.
My first novel.
Non-fiction.
Yep.
So, where is it set?
It's set in the United States. It starts out in New Hampshire and then goes to New York City, and I know it's going to be going all over the place. The name of it is Just Beyond My Reach, and it's a story about a woman that lost her husband in Iraq and how she's healing from that. You know, when we have our soulmate, when we have our perfect love, we wonder if we can ever love again. So she has some lessons to learn. Should be interesting. It's a love story.
And it's in the process of being of manifesting itself.
I've got about half of it done.
Okay, so we haven't even got to the denouement.
No, it's going to be good. She's already had her out-of-body experience, which is described brilliantly, and I described the pod and what it's like to be in the pod, and you know how you feel about that. And then she comes back and she does other things. So it's going to be great.
Oh my God, we haven't even got to the pod. Anyway, maybe we'll talk about the pod and
all
the show.
Oh, we're coming back New Year's Eve, right?
Yeah, look, New Year's Eve?
Well,
do you want to, hang on, when, no, I'm not going to be on New Year's Eve.
No, it's not so whenever New Year's ends.
Today, 21st. The nearest one to New Year's Eve will be, the 5th. It's so far away from New Year's Eve. You couldn't imagine, it couldn't be further. Or, I could do last week, which would be the 29th. That
perfect.
Would be quite an interesting evening. We could do 29th?
I know it's only 2 weeks away, but yes, I'll do you with the 29th.
Okay.
And I will give you my famous 2015 predictions.
Excellent.
You know, one of the most powerful ones, I'll give you a cute one. In 2007, in 1997, you guys know Fate Magazine and Llewellyn Publication, I'm sure. They asked me to write my predictions, and I wrote, a dark-haired girl named Veronica will upset the White House, and President Clinton may not give the State of the Union address. And I see him being impeached in the fall months of 1998, and an angry blonde will bring forth the truth. And, of course, that was the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
So Veronica rhymes with Monica, so that's pretty
right.
good.
Right, and I predicted Katrina. I predicted the tsunami in Indonesia. I also, unfortunately, predicted the Twin Towers. But we'll see what's coming for 2015. 2015 is the year of healing. It's the year of getting back up on your feet again. Because we've all been hit down by this seven times Pluto-Uranus square. And you can find out all about that at wisdom-magazine.com and go to articles and then go to the heavens. They have my full article on the cosmic clashes that we're having between December 15th and April 1st. And I wrote for each sign, your Leos and your Aries and your Capricorns, all of what could happen to each one of you based on your sun chart.
Wow. So this is the battleground that we're all going to be going through in the next, say, 6 or 7 months.
At least the next 4 months, at least until May.
All right. Oh, hang on. Yes, we're in December, aren't we? Blimey.
Yeah, we are.
Jeez. Well, oh, thank God. Oh my God.
Monday.
Thank God. Oh my God, it's over. Thank God it's over. And, oh my God, 15 sounds even worse.
No, it's not.
Tell me the good news. Tell us, have you got any good news? Look, and I also want you to do the blessing thing as well, so we'll factor that
the
in.
The good news is that 2015 is going to be more stable, and that I think the housing market is going to pick up. I do think that we're going to have some communication and wonderful technological breakthroughs. We're even going to be able to communicate better than we are now. But we're still going to have more scandal with those movie stars, Jay. They just don't quit, do they?
Well, do we see a defeat of the powers that be? I mean,
yes, that's a process. And, you know, I haven't started writing predictions yet, so I'll answer that question more on the 29th.
Excellent, excellent. We'll go there. We'll go there. That will be fantastic. So, tune back in on Monday, the 29th of December. So, it's gonna be Elizabeth's, this year's, predictions for next year. And, we'll see how things pan out because, there are things that happened this year that were like, where did that one come from?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, 2011 was like, where the,
That's when it all started.
Yeah.
That's when it all started.
And that is the Uranus thing. Uranus is the WTF planet, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Uranus, it's very sudden. It's like a lightning storm, but the most one is Pluto because it's in Capricorn, which is the hand of God, the Father, the Saturn, the disciplinarian. You can't be in that romance, so we're going to take him out of your life. Oh, well, you know, you've gone the wrong road, so we're going to end that. That's what it's about. And it happens very fast. Very fast. You know, a lot of people passed over in the last 2 or 3 years. A lot of people. For various reasons. So, I'm not saying that that's happening now. No, I don't want to bring that in at all. I just want you to know how Uranus works. Squaring Pluto. Pluto is your karma planet. It brings that which must be. The law of karma is exact. And sometimes we don't like change, us animals. We like the same old, same old. Isn't that true?
We like our little cozy comforts.
Yeah, and of course, you know, even with you, Jay, look what happened to you. You've got the new radio station, and this is wonderful for you. So this is what I'm talking about. Something that you've been waiting for. Maybe you don't like your boss and you're wishing for a change and the boss gets promoted. Somebody else comes in that you're in harmony with. That's what it can mean as well. Some of us will win the lottery.
That will be nice for them. And when they do, please donate to Revolution Radio.
Remember us. Me too.
Yeah. And have a reading with Elizabeth. Have a reading with me. And I can tell you some interesting things about yourself. Elizabeth can tell you some thoughts, whatever. Yeah, I mean, you've heard it on the last 2 hours. It's been a real joy. We'll be hearing the little guitar tune in a minute.
Well, let's give a little thanks.
Yes, please.
And let's ask the light to come in and fill everybody's heart that's been listening, and may it spread from their hearts to those that they love. And may this be a blessed Christmas and an eye-opening, heart-centered time for us. Thank you, Spirit.
Thank you very much, everybody, and good night. God bless you all.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.